the secrecy of the rapture. Beloved, it is written in the Word of God, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord, our God. These words were written by God's servant Moses. We certainly must confess that God does not reveal his secret things to the natural man, for the natural man is incompetent to understand them, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, where the Spirit of God is written through Paul to say, the natural man perceiveth not the things which be of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. The natural eye, the ear, and the heart can never receive the vision and hear the voice of the Spirit of God. Well, as Paul written again in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love it. The incomprehensible realm of the Holy Spirit is outside the range of all human intelligence. This in spite of the amazing wonders of man's scientific achievements. Man's discoveries are insignificant when contrasted with the eternal energy and the eternal realities of the spiritual realm of the gospel. In times past, there have been events of divine manifestation that were kept from the eyes of men, but were revealed to spiritual hearts, as well as the spiritual mind. These events are samples of how God keeps his secrets, the secrets of his power, from the intelligence of men. But what he does to reveal his mind to those who are the object of his redemption and manifestation. It is wonderful to be saved and to be one of the objects of God's revelation of his truth. Let us meditate upon a few examples in Holy Scripture regarding the secrets of God. First of all, Enoch, translation. Have you never read in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24? Corroborated in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5 of Enoch's translation to heaven, he was not, for God took him. He was translated to heaven without passing through death. But the mystery of his departure has never been explained to or even by the world. It never will be. Such a thing is inconceivable to human reasoning. But when you have the opportunity, and if you say you are saved, you will, someday be sure and look up Enoch. Ask Enoch, was it true that you were taken to heaven without dying? He'll tell you so, for he was there. But it was a mystery to others. Then there was Elisha's servant. A record and account that is written in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 23. Very briefly, the Syrian host was surrounding the city of Samaria by night. And Elisha's servant, as he looked over the wall of the city the next morning, was in great despair, and he said, alas, my master, how shall we do? What shall we do? Then Elisha prayed, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Then the servant of Elisha saw what the natural eye could never see, and what the natural mind could never know. There were horses of fire and chariots of fire. The chariots and the defenders of the Lord's servant around the city, the host of heaven protecting. God's secret things, they belong to him, and to whom the Spirit of God will reveal them. Then let us think of another great translation which you may be very well familiar with. Elijah's translation recorded in 2 Kings chapter 2, and particularly in verses 9 through 11. You may recall that the prophet Elisha, the follower of Elijah's servant, had the consciousness that his master was going to be taken away from him. And with that consciousness, he had begged that Elijah would grant his petition, that a double portion of his spirit would fall upon him. And Elijah told Elisha that if he could see him depart, it would happen. Now, Elisha would never have seen the departure of his master to heaven had not the Spirit of God prepared him for that wonderful event. There were many sons of the prophet looking upon the occasion, knowing this was to happen, and they even attempted to witness it, but they were incapable. So what did Elisha see when Elijah left? Did he not say, as Elijah ascended up heavenward, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof, and he witnessed with spiritual eyes, his master ascend to heavenly glory, carried by celestial chariot. The sons of the prophet, they made intensive search for Elijah, believing he could possibly have been put down on some mountain or in some valley. But Elisha knew the search was hopeless. He had witnessed what none of us had seen. His master was taken up by a whirlwind into heaven. Let us repeat. The secret things belong unto the Lord, as well as to them that fear him. But think of a fourth example. Daniel, and the vision that Daniel is given in Daniel chapter 10, and verses 1 through 4, for in answer to Daniel's prevailing prayer of chapter 9, he receives a visit from a celestial being. The glory of that celestial visitor was given for Daniel to see face to face. And Daniel heard words that were like the voice of a multitude according to the scripture. The men who were with Daniel, they saw nothing. In fact, terror fell upon them as they hid themselves and fled from the manifestation. And this is what Daniel writes. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. Though men were in the company of Daniel, the heavenly vision was witnessed only by Daniel himself. His companions could tell nothing of the event other than the fact they were terrified and they fled. God has his ways of keeping his secrets from other men when he reveals them to his own. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Witness another example of Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration as recorded in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. Likewise recorded in Mark chapter 9 as well as in Luke chapter 9. The glory of that great transfiguration of Christ upon the Holy Mount. Who saw it? Only 3 disciples, yet the face of the Lord alone, with the brightness of the sun, was witnessed only by Peter, James, and John. The light was sufficient. Now, please may I point out, you may not agree, but I believe, the glory of that light that radiated from the Lord was sufficient to light up the whole land. But did it? No. Just that one thing. For God kept it a secret from the eyes of the world, and he restricted the blessing of it to Peter and James and John alone, which you may read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. As Peter recalled the event when they were with him upon the holy mount, they witnessed his glory, and they saw his majesty. Then another example, that God keeps the secret things unto himself and to his own. In Matthew chapter 27, verses 51 through 53, have you never noticed the resurrected saints following the crucifixion, where it is recorded the bodies of many saints arose when the Lord died? They appeared in the Holy City to many, not to all, but to many after his resurrection. Such an experience should have had a tremendous impact upon the community, but no. It was without public attention, known only to the participants and to their friends. This event was shrouded in secrecy and revealed only to a few saints. But a divine manifestation of God's power, even when the darkness of Calvary had consummated the death of his only begotten Son, his beloved Son upon the cross of Calvary. Yes, the secret things belong to the Lord, and he reveals them, but to his own. Again, we think of the example of Stephen's martyrdom. In chapter 7 of the book of the Acts, as you may read the account, in chapter 7 of Acts, verses 44 through 50, beloved and faithful Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit and having his eyes fixed upon heaven, notice what it records. He saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. None of the Jewish witnesses saw what he did, nor could they. The murderous intent of their hearts and eyes is but one objective, the death of God's dear servant. But what comfort it must have been for Stephen to see God's glory and Jesus himself on the right hand of the majesty on high that moment. Praise God for spiritual eyes. But how sad it is to have only natural eyes. Then let us think of the conversion of Saul, recorded in chapter 9 of the book of the Acts, verse 1 through 7. Saul's conversion reveals that the glorified Lord, as well as his voice, arrested him on his journey to Damascus to apprehend the Christian. He was the Lord's object of visitation, and the Lord knew all that was taking place. But now Paul was visited by the Lord as he appeared to him. Not merely did Paul see him with his eyes and ears, but in the very depths of his heart and the depths of his conscience. There was no word spoken for the companions who were with Paul. They had no sight of the glorified Lord, though the light blinded them, and they were conscious only of an incomprehensible glare as well as an uncertain sound. But Saul saw the glory of the Lord and heard his voice. That is, you may remember one time, if Paul went up to paradise in the body, which is possibly, according to 2 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 4, his experience, though he does not confirm it, as to whether it was a real experience that took him out of the body, but no other person saw him go, he said, I knew such a one. Caught up into paradise. And he heard unspeakable words, unable to be uttered in human language. This heavenly vision and revelation, which was unutterable in human tongue, was experienced possibly by Paul alone. Again, let's say, God continues to keep hidden from the natural man his secret. Let us think also of the resurrection of Christ. Without controversy, Christ's resurrection and his post-resurrection appearances are greater in scope than all the other preceding examples. The Lord Jesus came forth from the tomb of hard hewn stone that was surrounded by a guard of watchful soldiers. but not of the witnesses. No human eye nor ear could share in that glory. It came out in his own power, and the Father's and the Spirit. The tomb was not open, but he came right through the stone that was rolled against it without touch. And then in the days of his post-resurrection appearances, he was known only to certain witnesses who were chosen as God. We find that he appeared in various guises to escape recognition, and he was able to vanish out of sight just as he pleased. But for 40 days upon the earth, the resurrected Savior made himself known, manifested himself without the world ever seeing him, but revealing himself only to his own blessed disciples. Now these are but a few examples, for there are others not mentioned, that certainly should prepare our hearts for one of the greatest, if not that greatest event in magnitude, which pertains to the secret things of God. And that is the secret of the rapture. The rapture of the saints. You know well, I'm sure, the words of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 15 through 18. When Paul by the Holy Spirit writes, "This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds, with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." My beloved, the coming of our Lord for his saints will definitely be hidden from the eyes of the world. The event will be outside the range of the natural man, who is totally unable to comprehend this great revelation of truth. It will be an event that is unprecedented for magnitude. It will not be a solitary Elijah. It will not be a solitary Enoch, but when millions of resurrected saints and living saints shall be transported in a moment in the twinkling of an eye by divine power to meet the Lord not on the earth, but in the air, and to be forever in the Father's glory and his hope of us. Suddenly, without any warning, silently, without any commotion or noise, secretly, without publicity, God will take all of his own to glory. You say when? The answer is, perhaps, today. My beloved, one has well written these words that follow. Out in the world, the darkness gathering quickly, peace is far off, men's hearts are full of fear. Within the veil, God's children rest in safety. They know their Lord's return is very near. Out in the world, industrial strife and warfare, kingdoms declining, bloodshed, loss and pain. Within the veil, Christ's church, just watching and praying, thrilled with his promise, "I will come again. Or if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also, saith the Lord Jesus." Truly, my beloved fellow believer, it is a marvelous grace to know that we shall participate in this wonderful event that will be hid from the world, the secret ring of the rapture. May I add a word of pleading for any friend who is not certain of being in that great event? Only for his own will the Lord Jesus come. Those who believe on him, and let me repeat his words as Paul wrote them in that first epistle of Thessalonians, saying in verse 13 of chapter 4, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," that is the basic foundation of taking part in the glory of the rapture when our Lord shall come. My beloved friend, will you be there? Certainly, the coming of the Lord is near. Are you ready? And the secrecy of the rapture will in a moment be fulfilled. Will you be there? And as often we have sung, and how precious is the truth, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning dawns eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Shall we pray? Blessed Father, the secrecy of that great event, how blessed for every believer to say, "Thank God, I'm in the knowledge of that wonderful event and ready by God's grace, saved through faith in the precious blood and redeeming death of my Savior on the cross, ready for that moment. And when the call comes, come up hither," and the Lord gathers his own, silently, swiftly, suddenly, with the multitude of saints, some from the grave, others than from the earth, taken to meet the Lord in thee. We say, Lord Jesus, even so come. May the secrecy of the rapture comfort our hearts in the midst of his presence, so we see our Savior face to face in the glory above, for his name's sake. Amen.